My name's Rodney. For those of you that don't know me, I'm a member here at Catalyst and been here since probably week two.
I think so.
It's been a long time with JK, I know that. More than I originally planned. And the most of you that know me know that when I get up here, I love preaching the word. I'm grateful that God has given me that opportunity in many places. But I've always seen people come up here and sit on one of these stools, share about what's gone through and what they've been through and what they've done. In all my years of ministry, I've never done this. You need to know that. No matter what I've been through in life, I can't ever remember being a large group and sharing something that I went through as the way I'm going to share it today. You know, today's theme is faith is more about what you do than what you say. Originally, this was about difficulties. Christians, our courageous Christian theme, facing difficulties. And when I met with Dave 2 weeks ago, I said, Dave, what did you have in mind? And he told me, and it wasn't anything what I had in mind. Which God works that way. Because God laid this on my heart months ago. He laid it on my heart, and I don't know why, and I don't know why he does those things, but he does. And so this has been going on for a long time. Even before Dave asked me to preach today on this topic, it's how God orchestrates things. When we talk about difficulties, I kind of refer to them as storms, and storms come in two types of groups. There's the ones that you know are coming, okay? We knew last night there's going to be a lot of wind and a lot of rain because they could see it in the forecast and the radar detected it and it was coming across the south and moving up here. And they're going to get more rain here and there. We're like that. You know? So those kinds of things are if you sign up to be a foster person or you're going to adopt a child or you're going to whatever it is, take on a new challenge, Christians can need to be faithful in those things. But the storms that I want to talk about are the ones you don't expect. The ones that just come up in life and the next thing you know, you're in the midst of a storm. It could be a financial loss. It could be a job loss. It could be a disease. It could be sickness. It could be injury. It could be a divorce. It could be whatever. You just name it. Life brings those storms. It's interesting that there's a story in the Bible about a storm, and I think it's almost funny in a way. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus has spent a long day teaching, okay? He's been teaching people, and they've been teaching at a lake, and so they decide, he says, let's go on the other side of the lake. He's probably tired, and he's exhausted, and he just wants to rest. And if you've ever preached a sermon or taught all day, those of you that done that or whatever, it can be exhausting. And I'm sure Jesus was exhausted. And so it says, that day when the evening came, he said to the disciples, let's go over to the other side, leaving the crowd behind. They took him along just as he was in the boat. And there also were other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Isn't that great? I mean, it's a squall. This is not just your typical storm. This is a massive thing. Winds are blowing. Waves are crashing. The disciples are freaking out. What's going on? I mean, we're going to die. We're going to drown. I don't know, but if you can't swim, and I don't think they had life jackets back then, what are we going to do? And where's Jesus? He's asleep on a cushion. I love that Mark says he's on a cushion. Okay, the other, it's recorded in three Gospels, and only Mark says he's on a cushion. I love that. Jesus is like, so? It's a storm. What up? You been there? Have you been the disciples? You're in the boat. And a storm comes. And you ask, Jesus, where are you? Where are you? I'll tell you about mine. November 12th, 2012. I'd worked a rugged, long 12-hour shift for 2 days at Toyota on a project we were doing. Brett can relate to those. The next morning, I had a customer get enraged. I was upset, went to his house. I had some guys that went out there doing a very good job. I crawl underneath his house. I help him finish the job. I come out and have a heart attack. I took about 2 months off from work. I had a partner at the time. We'd been in business for 10 years. My job was to get the work. He took care of the office, the finances, the accounting, and all that stuff. He was a Christian man. I trusted him with everything I had. I took off for a couple of months, and then the storm wasn't over. I was feeling better. I started losing weight. I was trying to get my health back right. And I don't know if you've ever got a letter like this, but I got to tell you, it'll make your skin just, it'll just make you want to give up. From the bank. It's addressed to us and said, in accordance with the levy enclosed, $9,435.69 is being held from your business checking account. Of these funds, $9,385.69 will go to the state. Wow. Am I making payroll next week? I got 20 guys working for me. I'm like, what's going on? May 31st, 2013, I get that letter. I went in on a Saturday that day for some strange reason just to check the mail and to check on things. And then I found a notice from 2012 in December where the state was getting ready to seize a bunch of our property. In the midst of all of this, you can back up to that other slide I missed already. In Christmas 2013, my daughter gave me this book. And I want to share what was on the first page of the first chapter because I had no idea what I was about to experience. She gave me this book, and it said this: you'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. But God will use this mess for good. In the meantime, don't be foolish or naive, but don't despair either. With God's help, you'll get through this. I had no idea what this storm was until I had an audit done when I hired a new CPA that came into my life, and I really struggled to go through and just give you a nutshell of what I was about to face. As I went digging through things and she did an audit, we discovered we owed the state of Kentucky $86,775 in back taxes that had not been paid. We owed the state of Indiana $5,600. We had various counties we owed over $20,000. We owed the bank in West Virginia $21,600 that I had no idea about. They'd repoed two of our trucks while I was in the hospital. We also owed another contractor $3,500, and I'll enlighten on that a little bit later. Now, I knew all of this. I discovered all of this on my own. But when they ran the bank, she ran the audit, she went to an intern that I had just hired by the name of Lisa, and she's a jewel. She still works for me to this day. She went to Lisa, pulled her aside, and said, our goal from this moment forward is to keep him from going to prison. She walked into my office and said, it's worse than you think. Here's the news. You owe $149,838 in back taxes to the federal government for payroll taxes that had not been paid. They date all the way back to 2011. I got to tell you, I was devastated. I'd worked hard to have a business of integrity. My goal in that business when I started, I said, God started this, and if God decides it's going to end, it's up to God. I have news for you. I had no idea this was his plan. I got to be honest. I'm like, I don't really know what to do. And then I went back to that book and I continued to read that over and over and over. That one paragraph that I highlighted in the book, you will get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick, but God will use this mess for good. Don't be foolish or naive, but don't despair either. With God's help, you will get through this. And that became my motivation each day. That's what became. I don't have any choice. Because not only was it me and not only was it my family, but it was also 12 to 14 other families that were working for me at the time. They had children. One was expecting a new baby. And so, and then in the midst of that, in November the 21st, we picked up our first son. And I got news for you. There are days I'm like, God, what are you doing? Are you asleep in the boat? Are you laying on a cushion? Do you not see the waves are crashing in? They're coming over, and I'm starting to drown. And so I've kind of gone back and reflected a few things that I kind of wanted to share with you. How do you get through these storms? Well, these are some things that I want you to understand. First of all, remember whose child you are. Remember whose child you are. There's a verse of scripture, and J.K. alluded to this last week in John chapter 1, verse 12. I wanted to share that with you this morning. John chapter 1, verse 12. The writer writes this. Yet to his own he did not receive him, yet all who received him, those who believed in his name, we have the right to become children of God. My wife asks Jaden every day when she drops him off at school, whose child are you? Because it's not mommy and daddy's, it's your God's. You're God's child. So I had to remember that I was God's child. So no matter what I did each day, when I got up and I had to go to work and I had to face the storm that I was in, I had to remember when I laid my head down at night, whatever I did that day had to please God. Now, I didn't do it perfectly, and I didn't do it 100% every day. I got news for you. I didn't. There were times I thought things I didn't need to think. There were things I wanted to do that I didn't want to do. I went back a few weeks ago and I talked to my assistant who still works for me and had her help me walk through some of this. Because I got news for you. It was a blur for about 2 years. And I really had to go back and dig into my memory to remember some of the stuff we went through. And she said to me, and she is a very strong Christian woman, and her faith is growing every day because she wasn't always like that when she walked into this storm. She probably has another story she could tell. She said to me, I'll never forget what you told me when I walked in your office and I said to you, how can you do this? How can you come in here every day and do this and yet write him a paycheck every week? And he doesn't even show up. I said, I don't have a choice. I belong to God. I belong to God. I have to do this God's way no matter what. And I have to trust that in the midst of this mess that I don't see any way of coming out of, by the way, I still have to know when I go home tonight that I can look my wife and my family in the eye and know that I've done things the way God would want me to do it. I said, trust me, the Rodney inside of me, the before Jesus inside of me, I can tell you what I want to do. He's got a bad back, and I think I'm still pretty stout. But I can't do that. I had to remember that I belong to God. I was God's child. And no matter what I did, I had to glorify Him with every action that I did. And so that's what we began doing. I didn't realize for the longest time why He wouldn't answer the phone. I knew why once we started answering the phone. Jeez, well, every day it was something different. Another call from someone else. Another call from someone else. We got scared to go to the mailbox because we didn't know what we were going to get notice in the mail from some county we worked in 2 years ago that we never paid the payroll taxes. And it became constant every day, every day, every day. But I had to remember whose child I was. The other thing I had to remember is you have to remember And if you don't remember anything else, please remember this. Remember to cry out for help. Psalms 18:6 says this. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. You know, I prayed a lot in those times. It's not like I don't do today, but I mean, I was just so focused. But you know what? When I look back on it, I can't remember just crying out for help but one time, 2 years into this. 2 years into this mess, it was a Saturday morning. It was in August. I was sitting out on our deck. And I said, God, I'm done. This is it. I'm done. We'd worked for 2 long years. We had reduced a lot of that debt. We were coming down. They weren't going to seize any more property. And we were paying things. I had met with, if you've never met with IRS people, I know that there's horror stories, but I got to tell you, God sent me a jewel. This lady said, when I went and spilled my gut to her, because I went to her and I said, here it is, this is the truth, believe it or not. She goes, nobody makes that up. Nobody makes that up. She said, plus it was so odd because every now and then there'd be a tax payment come in, but then they'd go 4 months and not get one. But she was a jewel. She said, I will walk you through this. And I remember in December, I found some notes in a file that I was looking at yesterday where I had called her because I'd got another notice. And I'm like, I've been doing everything right. What's wrong? She said, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. I called her on the phone. It was right before Christmas. She goes, you have a nice Christmas. I'll call you after the first of the year. Who does that? And so I remember on that August day, I was out there and I said, well, I'm done. And I prayed a stupid prayer. You ever prayed one of those? Anybody? I did. I said, you know what I told God? I said, let me tell you something, God. I'm done. If you can't write a check for $100,000 by next week, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's over. Wow. That's kind of wild. Who does that? I don't know. Maybe you ought to try it. God says, in your distress, I will hear your prayer. But I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't always answer it the way you want it to answer it, but God will answer it. Because if you remember in that story we read back there, the disciples did something that I didn't do. They immediately went to Jesus and woke him up. They cried out for help right then. They didn't waste no time. Sometimes I think our pride gets in the way, and maybe this is something God was trying to tell me. You got to turn this over to me. You've been praying for me to help you, and you've been doing it, and I've been trying to show you things, but you haven't really just give it to me, Rodney. I gave it to him that day because I was finished. So cry to God. And then remember this from Psalms 34. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. A righteous man will have many troubles, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. Tuesday, right after I had this prayer with God, I got a phone call. A man by the name of Wayne, who and I had gone to Haiti with, I'd met in 2011. Because I'm going to tell you something, God orchestrates people into your life. If you just go back and watch, there are people he puts in your life that you have no idea why. When I first met Wayne, it was the most bizarre thing. I was only there to kind of help these people figure out a plan to do some work in Haiti. And the next thing I know, I was on a plane going there with him and going back and helping him do all this installation. And that's how we came in contact, by sheer coincidence. But I got a call from him on that Tuesday. He said, my boss wants to meet with you. He has a business proposition for you. He would like to partner with you on some projects, and we could always use work. And so I said, fine. Now, his boss, I had never met but one time the year before when I was doing the audit. I got a letter from his attorney. I owed him money. I knew we'd done the work. We'd used some of his men, but I was told it was all paid. And you can doctor books if you really try hard. And so I'm like, okay, not sure what he wants to meet with me about. But when I found out I owed him money, I immediately called him on the phone. I called Wayne. It's a good thing God had put Wayne in my life for a reason. He knew this was coming up, and I would need an out. And I called Wayne and said, I need to meet with your boss. And I met with his boss and told him, this is not how I do business. I apologize. And he goes, well, it's okay. Let me call my lawyers. Call off that letter. It's good. He said, I never cared about the money. Just wanted somebody to call me. Your partner wouldn't call me. Wouldn't return my phone calls. He never would pay. He paid part of the bill, but then he never would pay the rest of it. It was only $3,500. I didn't really care. Pay me $100 a week. We're in the same trade. I get it. I said, well, I'll have you paid in less than a month. He goes, take your time. Well, I paid him in a month like I said I was going to. That was my first meeting with his boss, and now his boss wants to meet with me. So I go meet with his boss. Or his boss, they came to my office. Funny, my partner hadn't been to work for over 2 months. He shows up that day. Shows up that day. I'm like, great. We cleaned up the office for the first time in a year. We hadn't had time. So I have this meeting. They look at me and they go, Wayne says, Rodney, we and Darren want to meet with you today. He said, we want to talk about partner helping. And he said, wait, stop. It's not what you think. He said, I want you to come work for me. I said, what? He said, I want you to come work for me. Oh, what about my business? What about my employees? It's fine, they can all come, except one. That's all he said. I said, let me think about it. So I thought about it. I called him the next day, and I said, I need to meet with you, just you and me. Nobody else in the room, no other people, just us two. So he said, fine, we'll meet in my office. So I drove to his office, went in, I gave him this spill. The only other time I've shared this except with Dave. I didn't tell him all the details. I just told him the ugly truth. If this is what you want, it's what you got. He goes, I said, but there's a couple things you need to know about me. Number one, I'm a minister that knows how to do electrical work. I'm not an electrician who can preach. There's a difference. I said, there's a couple things that generally I have and I'm proud of. It's my diploma from the Bible college and my ordination. I said, I don't hang my licenses on the wall because they're not important. My relationship with God is, and you need to know that. And I said, you also need to know, I don't care how much vacation you give me here, whether you give any or not, I'm probably going to do mission work, and I'm not going to be here all the time. I'm going to take off and go, and you got to be okay with that. He goes, that's why why do you think we came and talked to you? Do you think a company of ours didn't do our due diligence and do our research? He said, let me tell you what I want to do. I want to get you out of this. I want to make sure you walk away from this and owe nobody. And then I want to take care of your family. That's what he said. I'm like, first of all, I thought, has he been drinking? I mean, you know, is there something wrong? God, this isn't happening. And then in my deal, I was struggling with it. You're going, why would you struggle with that? And it was my daughter, who was 19 at the time. We had breakfast every morning because she was working a job early because she was raising money to go to Europe on mission work for a year. And she set me down. She's the one that gave me the book. And she said, what's bothering you? And I said, I'm struggling with this whole thing. Why? Because I feel like I failed. My business has failed. I mean, you know, she goes, why are you looking at it like that? Look at it from this perspective. What do you want for your employees? What do you want for your family? Is this not what you want? Isn't this not just the next step where they can have good jobs, where they can support their family? God's given you this opportunity, and you're not going to take it? And I had to look at it totally different. And you need to know the prayer that I prayed that day, that silly prayer that I prayed, God answered that prayer in more ways than I ever imagined. They bought up all my assets. They bought up everything they had. They helped me save my trucks. We paid off all my debts. Ended up having to settle with my ex-partner, which I even wrote him a check that I didn't think he deserved. But hey, it's okay. It's not my money. It's God's. God wants him to have it. God can let him have it. That's how I looked at it. And I'll forget the attorney when we were in there and we were finally signing the papers, looked at me and said, you know what? We know what you've been through. And we know where you were. And we know the load of debt you had versus what your income was. And the fact that you're walking out of here owing nothing is a miracle. And I said, that's because God performs miracles. So what does God teach us? God teaches us a couple of things that we need to remember besides what we talked about. That's how you get through it. He teaches us a couple of things. First of all, Jesus knows what's on the other side of the storm. I just saw a storm. I saw all the problems. I saw the issues. But Jesus knew on the other side of the storm, I have something waiting. It's a secure future to help you raise two children that you had no idea was coming. And I'm going to take care of you. Jesus knew it was on the other side of the storm. So many times we get caught up in the storm, we don't realize God knows what's on the other side. I said God would close that business, and he did. I just didn't think he was going to take me through a storm to do it, but that's okay. It's God's plan, not mine. And he taught me things in that. The other thing we need to realize is storms don't just go quickly. Mine lasted from that day in November until August 18th, 2015. When I signed the last papers, I was already working for my current business. We finally closed everything down and everything got released. I thought about Joseph because that's what that book is about. Joseph was 17 when he was taken by his brothers, thrown in a cistern, and shipped off to Egypt. You know how he was? You know how old he was when his brothers came to him and he finally revealed himself? He's 37. So when I look at my storm of 4 years, or in his is of, you know, or 3 years, in his 20 years. But I want you to know what Joseph said in the end. And this is the other thing that we need to remember, is that forgiveness, no matter what. We can claim it, we can preach it, but we have to do it. That's where the faith comes in. Faith in God is more about what we do than what we say. We can say whatever we want, but you really have to decide you're going to do this, that you're going to forgive people who maybe meant harm to you. You're going to forgive people who have done things to you that haven't been very pleasant, or maybe stole from you or robbed you or whatever they've done or whatever storm. You have to be willing to forgive people. Notice what Joseph said in chapter 45 of Genesis. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping, but God sent me ahead to preserve you and a remnant on earth to save your lives by great deliverance." Storms last a long time, but God will deliver us. But we have to remember, we have to be willing to forgive. He'll orchestrate those people. You know, I met my boss for the first time because I owed him money. Now he owes me. He hired me and he said, "I hired you because I trust you. I trust whatever you do. This is your division. Run it like it was your business." He never has questioned anything I've done. I started my fifth year with him on February. He takes care of me. He takes care of my family. He called me the other night on the phone because we're going through a little tough time, a little cash flow issues. And he said, I need you to hear this from me. I need you to know how valuable you are to my company. I need you to hear that. What you do and what you're doing right now, what your division is doing for this company is getting us through this tough time, and you need to know that. And this is why I brought you here. You brought me here because God orchestrated all of these things. And it's amazing to go back and walk through it now. It was painful. I got news for you. When I share with Dave, I couldn't control myself. I've tried here today. But I want to tell you something. Remember that verse in Psalms. A righteous man will go through many troubles, but God will deliver him from them all. No matter how dark the day, no matter how dark the storm, no matter whatever's going on that's violent in your life, God will deliver you if you remain faithful. Not by what you say, but what you do, your every action, the words you say, where you go, what you try to do. And you're not going to do it perfect, and you're going to mess up, and you're going to seek His forgiveness just like I do. But God will still use you to reach this lost and dying world. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for your strength, your courage. I pray, Lord, that today we kind of have a better understanding of what it means to go through storms. I'm grateful for how you have delivered me and my family through this difficult time. And we can sit on this side of the storm and realize you had all this planned a long time ago before it ever started, that you knew what was going to be. And for the things you've taught me, I'm grateful for. And I pray for those here today that if they're going through some kind of similar or anything like that, that they turn and cry out to you like you've called us to. Cry out to you and let you know so you can take over and orchestrate everything that you want to orchestrate to bring it about to your glory. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.